Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, which is Parsha Shoftim, and the title of the shir tonight is Pushing the Boundaries. So tonight we're going to look at the prohibition of Hasagas Gevul, which we'll see in the Torah, in our parsha, in source number one. And we're going to look at the different approaches to understand the philosophy of Hasagas Gevul, the prohibition of Hasagas Gevul. And again, we're not going to be looking at it from a halachic framework, but we're going to be looking at it from a philosophical framework to try to understand the philosophical underpinnings of this prohibition of Hasagas Gevul. So if you look in source number one on the source sheets, we'll read the pasuk that we're going to focus on in this week's parsha. Devar in Perek Yotes, pasuk Yudalet. It says, Lo sasi gevul re'acha, asher gavlu rishonim b'nachla secha, asher tinchal ba'art asher adoshem lokecha nosin lecha l'rishta. It says, you shall not move the boundary of your friend, which was set up by earlier generations, in the property that was allotted to you, which Hashem gave you for inheritance. So the Torah teaches us in this one line that there's a prohibition of moving a boundary, a land boundary, and we'll see inside what exactly is the nature of this prohibition. But the first question is, what is the nature of this Isser, of this prohibition of Hasagas Gevul? Can we understand it, and when does it apply? What does it actually mean? So if we look in Rashi, in source number two, Rashi gives us the pshat. He's quoting the Sifri, and it says, Lo sasi gevul, lashon nasogu achor. The lashon is to turn, is like their backs were turned from Yeshayahu. Mishemachzir simon chalukas hakarka la achor, lesoch ste chavero, leman harchiv eshelo. So the case is where there's a symbol, let's say there's a cone, that determines the boundary of your land relative to your and your property relative to your friend's property, your neighbor's property, and you move that into your land, your friend's property, and you steal his property and you make it your own. So that is the Isser of Hasagas Gevul, to take a boundary or a symbol of a boundary and move it into your friend's land in order to widen your own land. And it says, Valuk var namar lo sigzol. So Rashi, quoting the Sifri, asks a good question. We already know that there's a prohibition to steal. Gzela is when you steal openly by force. So why is this any different? Meaning that this should just fit under the basic prohibition of losigzol. Matam lomar losasig. So why does the Torah have to teach us the iser of losasig? It seems to be synonymous with losigzol. Limeid hala okir tchum chavero sheover b'shnei lavin. So we learn out from this, that when a person steals his friend's land by, let's say, changing the property line, moving the property line, when you do that, you violate two different prohibitions. One is gzela, stealing, and the other one is lo sasig. And then the Rashi explains, yachol af b'chutz la'aretz. So you might think that this prohibition applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Talmud lomar b'nachalascha asher tinchal. So the Torah says, in the land that is allotted to you, Be'eretz Yisrael over b'shnei lavin, b'chutz la'aretz eino over ela mishum lo sigzol. So in the land of Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, you violate two prohibitions when you change the boundary, when you move the property line. One is lo sigzol, and the other one is lo sasig. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, you only violate one prohibition of lo sigzol. So the question that we're going to ask to try to understand in a deeper way is, what's the difference between this process of stealing in Eretz Yisrael versus the process of stealing outside of Eretz Yisrael? Meaning, Rashi says that in Eretz Yisrael, when you move your property line, you not only violate the prohibition of gzela, of stealing, but you also violate the prohibition of lo sasig, which means to move the boundary. But in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, you only violate the violation of lo sigzol, of stealing. So the question is, what's the difference? In both cases, you're doing the same thing. You're moving the property line. And the Torah seems to be teaching us that there's an added feature to moving a property line aside from just stealing your friend's property. There's an added feature of lo sasig. So why does it matter if you're in Eretz Yisrael or you're in Chutz La'aretz? So that's the question that we're going to take up. And we'll look at different approaches to this. But furthermore, the other question is, what's the difference between gzela and lo sasig? Meaning, if we already have the violation of stealing, like Rashi says, lo sigzol, so why do we need a separate prohibition when it comes to removing the boundary line and trying to steal land in Eretz Yisrael? So two basic questions. One is, why do we need two Isurim with regard to this Isur of moving a boundary? Why is it Gzela plus? Why don't we just say it's Gzela? And furthermore, what's the difference between Chutz La'aretz, where it's only Gzela, but in Eretz Yisrael, there's an Isser of Lo Sasig. There's another Isser that you violate when you move the property line of your property to try to steal your neighbor's land. So that's the question. So let's look at, we're really going to take up two different approaches to this. One is the Sefer HaChinuch, and the other one is the Ramban, and then we'll look at some varying versions of this pasuk and what it means. But the Sefer HaChinuch, he says in source number 3, Shelo Nasig Gavul, he explains what the prohibition is. Va'inin hu shelo nishne gavul shia beinenu uvein zulasenu ad shisakein lemeshakir shiomer she'eret zulaso hi shelo. So one violation would be, let's say there's a fixed boundary, the water well, or a certain bush or a tree is the boundary of our property line, and then you change it and you lie. Let's say you say, oh, it's not the tree anymore. Actually, our property line is something else. It's really the stake in the ground. So if you do that and you lie about it, that's one possible violation. V'chein im shina simane ha'gavul v'kavam b'soch karka shel chavero v'yomer shelo shinahu usha karka hu shelo ad ha'gavul. Or if you take the hypothetical symbols, landmarks of the boundary, let's say the landmark itself was a stake or a piece of a stick on the ground and you moved it, that would also be. Al kol zeh ne'amar, with regard to all this, it says, lo sasig gavul re'acha, that you're not allowed to steal your friend's property. The Amru b'sifri lo sasig gavul v'lo kfar ne'amar lo k'sig zol matam lomar lo sasig. He quotes Rashi melamed, which is the sifri melamed shekol oker tchumo shel chaveru over b'shnei lavin. So this teaches us that anybody who uproots his friend's property line violates both two lavin, one lav of the iser of gzela, and the other one is also lo sasig. Yachol af b'chutz la'aretz tam lomar b'nachalascha asher tinchav eretz Yisrael over b'shnei lavin b'chutz la'aretz over b'lav echad nimtza inyan kain. So the inyan is this. This is it. Hamasig gavul afilu malei etzba. So the halacha is that if you remove a person's boundary, even if it's a finger's worth, im bechazaka, if it's by force, asa avar al lo sigzal, then you violate lo sigzal. The im beseser over al lo signov. But if it's in secret, you violate lo signov. Vezeya bechutzlar to veret yisrael over b'shnei lavin. So in eretz, so he just adds in one extra point to the sifri and Rashi, which is the basic difference between Gzela and Gneva is that Gzela is by force and Gneva is in secret. So if you move a your boundary, and let's say you forcefully move your boundary and you tell the guy I'm moving it, and he's scared of you, so you're over Gzela in Chutz La'aretz, and in Eretz Yisrael you're also over Hasagas Gavul. If you do it in private in the middle of the night where the guy doesn't see it, so then you're over Gneva in Chutz La'aretz and Gneva and Hasagas Gavul in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. So now, what's the philosophy? He says, Shorish HaMitzvah, the root of the mitzvah, B'chol Inyan Gezel Yaduahu. With regard to Gzela, stealing, it's obvious what the philosophy is. Kihu davar shaseichel me'edala v'to'elis akolhi. This is something that the intellect is knowledgeable about and knows why it makes sense, and it benefits everybody that there's not stealing in your society. So he doesn't really give us much, the Sefer HaChinuch. All he says is that it's really just a violation of Gzela, of stealing, and he explains that stealing is obvious, that you want to have a society where people don't steal things from other people. It creates havoc in society, aside from philosophical issues. It's just not good for society to function where there's no rules with regard to stealing. But the question is, he's not really answering the question of why there's two Isurim, which is our question. Why is it that in Eretz Yisrael, specifically, there's the Isur of Lostigzol plus the Isur of Hasagas Gavul? So I want to try to answer the Chinuch. He doesn't really give us much. It sounds like he's saying that Hasagas Gavul fits under Gzela. So the question is, if it's really just a type of Gzela, it's just Gzela itself, so what is different over here? Why is it that it's limited to Eretz Yisrael? And why is it that you violate two different Isurim? So I want to try to answer that. Even though he doesn't say much, the Sefer HaChinuch, but he does say that it's Gzela. It's really just a different type of Gzela. So what is the difference? So if we look in the Rambam, use the Rambam, but the Rambam is just a famous halacha quoting the Gemara, and we'll see the Gemaras themselves. The Rambam, and I was thinking about this as a possible idea for this Isser, the Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Hey Halacha Yod, Gedolei HaChachamim Hayu Menashkin Al Tchumei Eretz Yisrael, U'Menashkin Avaneha U'Misgagulin Al Afra. V'cheinu Omer Ki Ratzu Avadecha Es Avaneha Ves Afra Ves Afra Yechoneinu. So the Rambam says that the great scholars of the Torah, when they would come to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, they would kiss the ground, and they would kiss the they would also kiss the rocks, and they would roll around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, as it says, cherish its dust and take delight in its stones and cherish its dust. That's the pasuk in Tehillim. If you look in source number 7, I have the pasuk. Kiratzu avadecha savaneve safareha yechoneinu. It's a pasuk that's quoted by the Rambam. So we see just one idea, one possibility, and I don't want to answer it yet, but we're going to develop this idea. One possibility or one concept about Eretz Yisrael is unique, which is that we treat the land and we kiss the land. At least it's a good thing to kiss the land. I've seen videos of people who make aliyah, and the first thing they do is they kiss the ground. And we see that this is not just a baseless custom, but it's actually demonstrated by Chazal, that they used to kiss the ground and they would roll around in the dirt because they loved it. They loved the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. So I want to look in the Gemaras and Ksubos a little bit, and then we'll try to explain what this idea is and come back to this Gzela question. So if you look in Ksubos, Daf Kufyud Beis Amun Aleph, source number 5, the Gemara takes up all these things that Chazal would do when they went into Eretz Yisrael. And it's important because it demonstrates the love that they had for Eretz Yisrael. It says, Rabbi Zeira, he have a solik l'Eretz Yisrael lo ashkach mibar lemeavar. So when Rav Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael, he was trying to cross the Yarden. He was coming in from the Jordan region, that area, and he missed the ferry. There was no ferry around. Nakat b'mitzra v'ka'avar. So he grabbed this rope and he crossed over the Yarden with rope. There was a piece of rope connected from one end to the other, and he basically climbed the rope from one side to the other. Look at Rashi. Naka b'mitzra, yesh makom she'ein gesher. It was a place where there's no bridge. U'mashlichin eitz aruchav hanar, misafe l'safe. So there was a tree trunk from one end to the other. Ve'eno rachav le'lechalav. But you can't walk on it. It's too thin. Kim ochez b'yadav b'chevel. Unless you hold on to a rope while you're doing it. Hamatuach l'mala, which is set up above. Heman, sorry, l'mala himenu. Kasher shnei rosha b'shtei yisedos achas mikan v'achas mikan b'shnei avrei hanar. So basically, he walked on this thin, narrow piece of wood, and he was holding on with his arms onto this rope that was above him, that was also attached to the different pegs on the sides of the Yarden, and he passed into Eretz Yisrael. So Amar le'ahut tziduki, if you go back to the Gemara, this tziduki, who was an apikoris, a tziduki, he said to him, Amma peziza, you're a hasty nation. Dekadmisu pumaychu le'unaychu. Your mouth came before you heard. So it's a reference to Har Sinai. Look in Rashi. Again, sorry. Ama peziza, am bahol. So you're a very hasty nation. Dekadmisu pumaychu le'unaychu. Mitzchilaschem hiisem behulim. From the very beginning, you guys were very hasty, the Jews. Shekidamtem nasa lenishma. When you were at Har Sinai, you said, "We'll do before we hear." And you still remain in your hastiness. He was criticizing Rabbi Zeira for not waiting for this ferry, and he says that Klal Yisrael, they're hasty people. You see by Har Sinai that they accepted the Torah without actually hearing it yet. So he's saying to Rabbi Zeira, "You're a hasty person too. You share in this characteristic," and he's criticizing him that he should have waited for the ferry to come. So akati be sizusaychu kamaisu, you still have the same hastiness. That's what the tziduki said to him. So Amar Le, Rav Zeira said, duchta de Moshe v'Aaron lo zachula, ana mi yemar de zechinala. The land that Moshe and Aaron weren't able to go into, weren't able to merit. Who says that I will? Meaning that Rav Zeira was nervous. He wasn't actually nervous, but he's saying that we have to treat the land as if it's precious and we might not get into it. So even though he was on the boundary and the border of Eretz Yisrael, he's demonstrating that there's this concern that he might not get in. He might die before he gets in. So he has to go as quickly as possible. He has to figure out a way to get into Eretz Yisrael as quickly as possible in order that he ensure that he get into Eretz Yisrael. So this is the first story that we see in the Gemara where we see Chazal were very careful, and in terms of how they treated Eretz Yisrael, they were very emphatic that it was important to get in there as quickly as possible, to the point where he even couldn't wait for a ferry. He climbed across on a thin piece of wood, and he used his arms on a rope, and he climbed across that way. So keep going. It says, Rabbi Ava Menashe Kifi Da'ako. Rabbi Abba would kiss the rocks of Akko. Akko was on the border of Eretz Yisrael, and he would kiss it, he would kiss the rocks. Rabbi Chanina misakein maskele. Rabbi Chanina, he would fill in the potholes of the roads. He was he worked for the DPW, I guess, of Eretz Yisrael at the time, and he decided to fix all the potholes. Look at Rashi over there. Misakein maskele. It says, Mishave umisakein machshule he'ir machmas chibas aretz. Shahaisa chaviva alav umechazer shel yata shem ra ladrachim. He wanted to make sure that people who were walking the pathways of Eretz Yisrael didn't have anything bad to say about it. So anytime he encountered a ditch, a pothole in the path, he would fill it in, and he would make sure that it was flat. So that's what he did. So he loved it. So you see that these guys, these Rebbeim, they didn't have in terms of Eretz Yisrael, they broke their own feeling of kavod for themselves. It's almost like they did something that you would think a worker, a street worker should do. But when it came to Eretz Yisrael, they were able to go against that own sense, their own sense of the need for kavod, or that desire for kavod, and do whatever it took to preserve the image of Eretz Yisrael. So he was doing it in order that Eretz Yisrael not have a bad name to it. Okay, keep going. Let's go back to the Gemara. They just keep showing us different stories of different Chazal and how they treated Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi kaimi mishamsha letula umetula l'shimsha. So Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi, they would go from sunny to shade and shade to sun. So Rashi explains that in the summertime when it was very hot, they would always move to shady spots. And then in the wintertime when it was cold, they would move into sunny spots. Why? Look at Rashi. Kaimi misham shel letula kishashemesh igil amakom shein yoshvin v'gorsin v'chama mekaderes olein omdim misham leishev betzel v'me'atzina omdim minatzel v'yoshvin v'chama kadei shel yuchlu l'hisrayim l'yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want any complaints about Eretz Yisrael. So when they were learning, when it was very hot, they would go under the shade. And when it was very cold, they would go out into the sun. Because they wanted the perfect temperature. They wanted to demonstrate that Eretz Yisrael is the best place to learn. And then finally, the last case is Rav Chiya bar Gamda, Minag Darba Afra, Shinemar, Kiratu Avadecha Es Avaneha Ves Afra Yechonenu. He would roll around in the dirt. And he quotes the pasuk from Tehillim in source number 7, Kiratu Avadecha Es Avaneha Ves Afra Yechonenu. That he would roll around because he took delight in the stones and he loved the dirt. He would cherish the dirt. So we see in all these stories, I don't want to go through each story in depth, but I want to just develop an idea here. But we see that all these stories demonstrate how Chazal viewed the land of Eretz Yisrael, the land itself. They wanted to make sure that people would view it with a certain light. They loved it. They kissed it. They kissed the ground. They kissed the rocks. And we see that they cherished the land itself, the actual entity of the land itself. They had a certain, they cherished it. If you look in, just the last point before we define it, if you look in Rashi on the Tehillim in source number 8, he says, Giratu avu af es amanea ves afra. They even loved the stones and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. They loved it. Umedrish agadak she yatsa yechonya vigalusu, vigaloso, nasu imahim avne Yerushalayim ba'afra, So the Medrash is that when Yechonia went into Galus, into Bavel, they took stones and dirt from Eretz Yisrael to build their base Knesses in Bavel with the stone and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. So what exactly is this idea, and how does it tie into Hasagas Gemul? So I want to try one possibility. Perhaps the idea of the land of Eretz Yisrael is that we recognize that the land itself is unique in the sense that other lands are really just physical entities. But the land of Eretz Yisrael, as we've seen many times, is tied to many ideas of mitzvah. We have ideas of how we're supposed to treat the fruits when they come up from the land. Kibush ha'aretz. There's all these halachos about how we're supposed to treat the land. And we have Shemitah and Yovel. So the land of Eretz Yisrael, the actual physical entity of the land, is really something that's imbued with halacha. With ideas, with concepts, philosophy, halacha, all these things are imbued in the land. So the land itself is not like any other land, and that's why I think the Rambam and Chazal, they treated the land itself, and they were willing to kiss the dirt and the rocks, because they recognized the value of the land of Eretz Yisrael as opposed to every other land. Every other land is just a physical entity meant to potentially produce fruits or meant to be walked on. But the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's imbued with halacha, with philosophy. So they recognize the value of the land of Eretz Yisrael, that the land itself has added features that other lands don't have. And that's really the idea of how we're supposed to treat the land itself. We take the rocks and the stones. That's what it means. Yechonia took the rocks and the stones. He recognized that the land of Eretz Yisrael itself is not just physical, but it's imbued with philosophy, as I said before. So what is the idea here? What is the concept? So I believe the Chinuch, perhaps, he's saying that it's just Gzela. So why is there two Isurim? So maybe the idea is that there's an Isur to steal in general. You're not allowed to take something that's not yours. But within Eretz Yisrael, there's a separate Isur, which is that you're treating the land, the physical entity of land, like you would treat any other land. And it's a violation of the idea of recognizing that the land of Eretz Yisrael is unique. So when you steal the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's not like stealing regular land. It's like stealing something that is different than any other land itself. So I think that the idea of adding an extra Isur by stealing your friend's land in Eretz Yisrael is to demonstrate this concept. The concept is that in Eretz Yisrael, there's one violation of stealing, but the other violation is that you're not really recognizing the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. You're just treating it like any other piece of like any other entity, like any other physical entity that is something that you desire and that you want to steal. But the concept is that in Eretz Yisrael, we have to recognize that the land itself is different. It's qualitatively different than any other land. So I think that's why the Torah distinguishes between the stealing of the land of Eretz Yisrael versus the stealing of the land in Chutz Aretz. In Chutz Aretz, stealing Gzela and Gneva is no different from land to any entity, to any object. Stealing somebody's car is the same as stealing land. But in Eretz Yisrael, when you steal the land of Eretz Yisrael, you're basically stealing something that's qualitatively different than any other object or entity. It's a land that's unique. So the Isser of Hasagas Gevul, of a separate Isser of really stealing the land of Eretz Yisrael, is tied to the idea of denying, or at least not recognizing, the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah added an extra Isser by Eretz Yisrael because of this factor, because of the idea that we're supposed to treat the land differently, and when we steal it, we're really denying that it's unique, that we're denying that it's special, that it has Kedusha, that there's Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael, it has holiness, it has philosophy. We're denying it. We're just treating it like any other land, like any other object. So the Torah is teaching us that by Eretz Yisrael, there's two philosophical flaws. One is Gzela itself. It's not yours. You can't take it if it's not yours. And the second is denying the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, denying the idea that it's different, that it has Kedusha, that it's not something that we could just be mechalel by stealing. So we have to recognize that Eretz Yisrael is unique. So perhaps that's what the Chinuch is saying. He doesn't say that, but he does say that the philosophy is tied to Gzela. So I'm saying it's not that different than Gzela. It's just that you're doing Gzela on an entity of Eretz Yisrael, which is unique. So when you have an entity like Eretz Yisrael, it demands an extra prohibition because there's an extra flaw that exists. It's the flaw of denying the special quality of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the first idea. Anybody have any questions, any possibilities? Okay, great. Go ahead.
I was thinking, and I don't know if this is something that you were going to bring up later, but also because it's designated to, like, there's a special designation of who it belongs to.
That's the next thing. That's the next thing also. Oh. That's the next, but that's good also. Yeah, so we'll see that inside. The Ramban, so I think that's the Chinuch. The Chinuch's understanding of the Sifri based on Rashi, because he quotes the Sifri, is basically that it's Gzela plus. It's Gzela, but in the Gzela itself, you're denying the uniqueness, the special quality of Eretz Yisrael. You're treating it like any other object, and that's why there's a separate Isser as well of Lo Sasek, Hasagas Gevul. Okay, fine. So the Ramban, source number 9, has a different interpretation. He says, Lo Sasek Gevul Re'echa. He says, "Azhara shli shana tchum hachaluka shalchalku hanasiim es haaretz l'shvatim ol liyachid mehem." So he says that the Isser is, and this was an Isser given in the time of the Torah when they were in the Midbar by Har Sinai. So the Isser is to change the set boundaries of the Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael and to change your property line, which was allotted to each family. V'alkein amar asher gavlu rishonim. So Ramban says, if you look in source number 1, it says Losasigvul Reacha Asher Gavlu Rishonim, which was set up by earlier generations. What does that mean? Set up by earlier generations, Haim Elazar Hakohen Yoshua Benun and Nesi Hamatos, which was set up by Elazar Yoshua when they went into Eretz Yisrael. They set up the land, So the Isser was for the Jewish people to steal their friend's land, to change the boundaries of the Shvatim. V'lachin hizkir b'nachalascha asher tinchal. That's why it's only in Eretz Yisrael. V'tama mitzvah hazo shelo yachshov adam lomar ein chelki asher nosnu lishoveh kemo chile chaveri ki tohu hacholkem. So the reason for this prohibition, according to the Ramban, is that people shouldn't argue and say, it's not fair, I didn't get the same amount of land as my friend in Eretz Yisrael. Oshi yotzi belibo laz al hagorolos. Or it'll create a complaint about the gorolos and claim that it was fixed. That when the land of Israel was split up, it was split up with lottery. And the people are going to say, oh, the lottery was not fair, it was fixed. That's why I didn't get as much as my buddy over here. V'lo yezeh be'enav gezel klal. It wouldn't be zela in his eyes because he feels like he deserves it. Akein tziva b'kan shlo yachlok adam al hachaluka hi. V'lo yeshane hakvulin klal lo b'seser v'lo b'galoi. Therefore, the Ramban's saying that a person should not change this type of boundary. This setup that was set up in the beginning of Eretz Yisrael, even whether it's in private or in public. And this is stated in the psukim where it says that the gorolos, the lottery, was what determined the land size of each family and each shevet, whether it was a large shevet or a small shevet, and it was fair. The gorolos were fair. So he says that the Isser, the Ramban says pretty outright that the Isser of Hasagas Gvul, it sounds like, only existed in the time of when Eretz Yisrael was mechalik, was split up, and the Isser was to change the boundaries or change the land that was given to a specific family through the Gorolos. Why? Because there would be complaints that it's not fair, and it would create either it would be, and it's a demonstration that the Gorolos were fixed, and there's a lack of justice here. But the Torah teaches us know that the Gorolos were api Hashem; they were really hashkacha. But then he says, "Valdas Rabbeinu." So then he quotes the Sifri, which Rashi quotes, and he says that in our time, it's an Isser that you violate two Lavin, two Isurim, when you change the boundaries in Eretz Yisrael. So how do you learn the Lashon of Asher Gavlu Rishonim? Shelo yishane hatchum hayashan b'seiser v'yomer b'kan hayam olam. So he says, Gavlu Rishonim is because in general, when a person steals somebody's boundary, it's usually where there's an older boundary and you forget where it was. But when it's a new boundary, he says a person's not really going to try to change it because everyone will know that he changed it. It's only typical for a person to try to steal a boundary when people forget where the boundary was, if it's an old boundary. So that's why, according to the Sifri, he's saying it says, Asher Gavlu Rishonim. Why is it set up earlier? Because that's when a person tries the stunt, when they try to do Hasagas Gvul, when a boundary is older, but when it's new, so you're not going to try it. So it's just practical. But then he kind of rejects the Sifri's interpretation, and he says, if you look in the Sifri itself, in a different part, he says that they ask, where do you know that it's usher to remove the tchum of the Shvatim, or to change them? That's the pasha pshat of the Torah that's referring to changing the boundaries of the Shvatim. So the Ramban, he quotes both. He has his own pshat, and he says the pshat is that the Isser of Hasagas Gavul really is an Isser that applied in the times of the Midbar and going into Eretz Yisrael. And the idea of it was unique, that when Eretz Yisrael was split up, there shouldn't be any contestment of that system, of that process of Gorel. But then he says the Sifri, when he quotes our Sifri, where it says nowadays it would be an Isser, even Bizman Azeh, you'd be over two Isurim in Eretz Yisrael, which is what we saw in Rashi and the Sefer HaChinuch. But then he goes back to his original approach. So I was trying to think about the Ramban, and the Ramban sounds like he's putting them into two different camps. He has his own approach, which is that the philosophy of Hasagas Gavul is really tied to the Chalukas Haaretz, but then he quotes the Sifri, where the philosophy or the idea is tied to Bizman Azeh, which is, even Bizman Azeh, for an Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to steal somebody's land, and if you do, it's Gzela and Hasagas Gavul. But he sounds like there's two different approaches, but maybe, I was thinking, maybe there's a way to reconcile the two approaches, because he does say that the Sifri ties it back to the Shvatim as well, So maybe there's a way to reconcile the two, that they're not so different from one another. So I was thinking that maybe the concept is tied to not to the land itself being imbued with the philosophy, like we said for the chinuch, but maybe the Ramban is saying that there's a special hashgacha when it comes to the land. And we see this by the goral, that the goral was really an expression of the hashgachas Hashem when it came to the land, because it says Alpia goral, it says Alpia goral, and the goral was done through hashgacha, bein rav ma'at, that only Hashem knows the amount of land that each person, each family needs, each shevet needs, based on their population. So the whole goral was tied to the idea of hashgacha, of God's divine intervention vis-a-vis the land of Eretz Yisrael. And we know that there's a pasuk, I didn't bring it down in the source sheets, but there's a pasuk that says that Eretz Yisrael is tamid eniyad Hashem ba. It says that Hashem's eyes are always on it, meaning that there's a special hashgacha, there's special divine intervention that relates to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael doesn't get rain like other lands. It doesn't get produce like other lands. It's all tied to God's will in a more specific way in terms of His divine intervention. And that was expressed in the Goral, but maybe even Bizman Hazeh, maybe that's the idea. Maybe the idea, if you want to try to reconcile the two approaches, is that even Bizman Hazeh, when you try to steal somebody's land in Eretz Yisrael, not only is it Gzela, but it's also a denial of the special Hashgacha that relates to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, the Hashgacha to Eretz Yisrael is that God has intervened, God has defined the boundaries, God, it's Tamid Einei Ad Hashem Ba. That's what the Torah says, that God's eyes, so to speak, are always on Eretz Yisrael. And when you move the land in Eretz Yisrael, it's a denial of that idea. It's almost treating the land like it's any other land, like there is no special hashgacha that relates to it. And it's if you're denying the idea that there is a special knowledge, there's a special hashgacha that relates to the land. So maybe the Ramban, just to answer the Ramban, or to try to reconcile the two approaches in the Ramban, maybe it's one real philosophical flaw. The philosophical flaw is really denying that there's a special hashgachas Hashem that relates to Eretz Yisrael as opposed to other lands. So when you move the boundary in Eretz Yisrael, you're denying the fact that there's a divine intervention that relates to this land differently than every other land. It's almost like you're saying God doesn't see this. It's like you're denying the omniscience and the effectiveness of the hashgacha vis-a-vis this land. And that's what the complaint is against the goral, that the goral wasn't through hashgacha, it was fixed, that man did it. But no, we know that there's a special hashgacha that relates to the land itself. So I think the Ramban's approach, perhaps, I mean, I don't think he's saying this, but to try to answer the two possibilities of the Ramban and try to put them together, the Ramban is tying the Isra Asagas Gvul to the Isra, to the violation of denying the hashgachas Hashem vis-a-vis the land, whereas the Chinuch and Rashi are saying the Isra is to treat the land itself as a regular object, as a regular entity, one that's just like any other land, when we know that the land itself has mitzvos, halachos, has a kedusha. So what is the Isra of Asagas Gvul? Is it treating the land like any other land and not recognizing that it's special because it's tied to these ideas? Or is it denying the hashgacha that relates to Eretz Yisrael, the hashgacha of Tamid Einiyad Hashem Ba, and the idea that God intervenes and is always involved in the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is expressed in the Goral as well. Okay? So those are the two approaches. I just want to conclude this year with two different, you know, other readings of this Isser. I think we'll skip Rabbeinu Bachya, but he's more philosophical in source number 10, because maybe we'll come back to it at the end. But I just want to take up these two other approaches. So the Torah Tzmima quotes two other possibilities for what the Isser of Asagas Gvul is. They have nothing to do with what we talked about before in the beginning of this year. And it's source number 11. It says, Losa Sig, Tanya, Minayin Lamocher Kever Avosav, Sheover Belosase, Tamalomar Losa Sig Gvul Reacha. How do you know that if you sell your family's graveyard, the grave sites, how do you know that you're over an Isser? What Isser are you over? You're over the Isser of Hasagas Gvul. Yachol Afilo Nikvar Bo Adam Olam. You might think that this violation occurs even if nobody's been buried in it yet. It's only in the land that your family member has been buried in. Meaning that if your family members, let's say your parents or your grandparents bought family plots, they had a graveyard, family plots, and somebody from your family is buried there, it's usher to sell that land to somebody else. So the question is, what is this idea? What is the Isser of Asagas Gvul as it relates to this prohibition. What is the prohibition? So if you look in the Torah Tmimo, he says, Bimei Chazal, Hanohug Shekol Mishpacha Haysam Yachedis L'Makom L'Kever B'nei Mishpacha. So in the time of Chazal, every family had their own plots, and they had their own section. The Ayin B'Vechoros, Nun Be'ez Amad Be'ez, Psaka Gemara, B'inyan De'arisham, De'hechi De'be'eza Inyan Mekachu Memchar Yesh B'gam Mishpacha. So there's a psak over there that when it comes to business, if it creates a pegam, which is a denigration of a family, chozer hamekach, the mekach goes back. It doesn't work. Umevi rayal zeh, and they bring a proof, mehad desanya, from this brisa, hamocher kvaro shebesoch kivrei mishpachto. If a person sells his plot, which is in his family plot area, b'ayim b'nei mishpacha v'kovr moso ba'al korcho. So his family comes and they bury him forcefully. Shalokeach mishum pegam mishpacha. So they even forcefully bury the person who sold it because it's pegam mishpacha to have a stranger, somebody not in the family, buried there. Yuyan sham ulfia drasha tfaninu kasha my raya dimishum pegam mishpacha hu. What's the proof that it's because of pegam mishpacha? The dilma mishum lab the hasagas gvul kemivur. Maybe the reason why we force the burial and we say that the sale was no good is because of Hasagas Gvul, like our source in the Torah Tmima. Vafilu inema de drusha zu havi asmachta. Even if you want to say that it's not literal, it's an asmachta. Kasher be emes lomanuha moneh hamitzvos. It's not really, this is not included in the minyan hamitzvos that you're not allowed to sell your family plot. Mikomakom efshar lilmo mikan lida alma. You can't learn out to general, demishum begamish becha chozer hamekach, that because of begamish becha the mekach goes back. Dalko panim yesh shmach leze halav b'torah. V'tzarech lomar the tam smichos davar zeh halav zeh humishum begamish becha. So they want to say that the reason for the smichos, the tie-in of this pasuk, is because of begamish becha. Meaning that's why it's usher. It's usher to sell your family plot because it creates a denigration, a pegam in your mishpacha, in your family name. So what exactly is the idea here? What's the concept of Hasagas Gvul in this sense? So I was thinking about what perhaps the philosophy is. So maybe the idea of Hasagas Gvul over here is that sometimes land can take on, and this is not an actual Isser, it's Nasmachta, so there seems to be, meaning it's not directly learned out from the Torah, but it's tied in by Chazal to this idea of not selling a family plot. So what is the flaw of selling a family plot? So maybe the idea of Hasagas Gvul is that there's sometimes people attach sentimentality or there are other emotions, deeper emotions that are tied to an object. You know, a person has a sentimental, their objects have sentimental value. And specifically by land, I think the Chazal are saying that there's a reality, there's some truth to the sentimentality, to this idea of sentimentality, to the idea of treating land not just like it's physical, but recognizing the value of land in terms of the sentimental. And it's, the idea exists by your family, meaning your family plot. So there's an idea that it's not just regular land, but it's tied to my family name. So land itself has the ability to tie itself to certain emotions, to certain sentimentality. And the Torah recognizes that sentimentality as having as being truthful and real, and something that the Torah acknowledges. And I think that's what the Chazal are teaching us, that Isser of Hasagas Gvul is to deny this idea of land, to deny the fact that the land itself is tied to this idea of your family, this sentimentality, and to just treat the land as if it's no different than your field, when your family plot is supposed to have a certain significance to you. So that's the Isser of Hasagas Gvul. So it's kind of similar to the first way we learned the Isser of Hasagas Gvul. Because the direct Isser is really that you're not allowed to treat Eretz Yisrael like any other land because it's imbued with philosophy, with Torah. But this idea, this philosophical concept, is that you can't treat every piece of land as if it's identical. You have to recognize that some land has more value, even if it's not monetary, but even if it's sentimental, if it's emotionally driven. The Torah recognizes this, and you can't just treat all land the same. So the Isser over here, I don't think it's not an Isser d'oraisa, it's an Isser d'rabbanan, and that's why the sale doesn't work. But the philosophy, I think that's why it's an asmachta. It's an asmachta because it shares in the philosophy of the real Isser. because over here you're not recognizing the value of the land from a sentimental standpoint. You're only looking at it like it's any like any other land. And then the last point of the share, last idea, is totally different. It says in source number 13, Lo Sasig, Tanya, Minayin Lamachlif, Divrei Rabbi Lazar, B'divrei Rabbi Yeshua, B'divrei Rabbi Yeshua, B'divrei Rabbi Lazar, Lomar Al Tahor Tamei, Val Tamei Tahor, Shu Over Belo Sase, Tamei Lomar Lo Sasig V'Reacha. So the last Isser is that, let's say Rabbi Lazar holds that something is Tahor, and Rabbi Yeshua holds that something's Tamei, and you switch around the names, and you accidentally say that Rabbi Lazar holds its Tamei, Rabbi Yeshua holds its Tahor. If you switch around the opinions, you're over this Isser of Hasagas Gavul. That you're really, Hasagas Gavul is that you're changing the boundaries, and the boundaries are that this guy so-and-so said this, and somebody else said that, and if you change it around, you're over this Isser. So what is this Isser? What is that, the nature of this Isser? So the Torah Tmima adds one last point, the last point in the share. He says, Agra goris kana pasuk lo sasik vul olam. He has a different pasuk. Uladaiti nakat oso asifri kan mishum da'iri be'inin hasagas kavul. Uvira inyan nira. So the reason why the Sifri brings it in here is because it's talking about hasagas kavul. Uvira inyan nira mishum delachol tana o amora kava gemara klalim bahalachos. Kimo beishamai uvisilo halach gvesilo. Vechein abaye verava. Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Kedome, V'im Kain, Zeh HaMachlef, Divrei Beis Shammai LeBeis Hillel, Divrei Beis Hillel LeBeis Shammai, V'Koveh L'Fi Zeh HaLacha LeBeis Hillel, Shehem Be'emes, Divrei Beis Shammai, V'im Kain, Hu Masig V'U Olam, Shnikvu B'Hilchos Olam. So the Torah Tzmima wants to say that there are different laws when it comes to how we paskin, how we say the Halacha is. Like if there's a Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we always paskin like Beis Hillel, except for specific examples. When there's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, we always paskin in like one of them. So there's all these laws when it comes to how we paskin. So when you change around the names and you mess up the names, you're not just distorting their opinion, but you're distorting the system of halacha of how we're supposed to paskin. Because if we're supposed to paskin like Beis Hillel, but now you're putting in by accident Beis Shammai Shita for Beis Hillel, so you're really distorting the whole system of halacha. So it's a lot more grave than just not quoting somebody properly. If you don't quote somebody properly, it's not a good midah. It's a poor midah. But when you misquote two people in the Gemara like this, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, it creates a problem in psak. It creates an effect of distortion in the psak. So the issur that he's saying of Hasagas Gvul is that even a minor change in one name to another name could create a massive distortion in our psak halacha system, in how we paskin. So I think that's the last idea that the Torah Tmima, you know, wants to highlight. So I just wanted to finish the shir that way, and let me just summarize quickly. So really, the question is, what is the nature of the Isser of Hasagas Gavul? And we saw that in the Sifri says that the Isser is, in Eretz Yisrael, when you steal land, when you move the boundary and try to take more land for yourself, you violate two Isserim, Gzela and Hasagas Gavul. So the question we had is, what's the difference between the two? And furthermore, why does it only relate to Eretz Yisrael? So we saw two different approaches. One is the approach of, I believe, the Chinuch, and possibly myself. But basically quoting the Rambams and the Gemara, we see that the Chazal treated the land itself differently than other land. And perhaps the Isser of Hasagas Gvul, in addition to Gzela, is that it's not just that you're taking something that's not yours, but you're also treating this land of Eretz Yisrael like any other entity. And that's the violation of Hasagas Gvul. Hasagas Gvul is specifically to treat the land itself of Eretz Yisrael in a non-unique way, in an ordinary way, and to not recognize that it's unique, that it has Kedusha, that you can't just steal it like you would steal any other object, and therefore you violate a separate Isser of Hasagas Gvul. The Ramban, on the other hand, ties the Isser to the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael and trying to change the boundaries, and he says the philosophy is that there will be complaints and that it's not fair and people will feel like it's not stealing because the whole thing was fixed. And the Ramban quotes the Sifri as well, but he seems to say that they're two different possibilities. But I wanted to try to put the two together and say that really it's the same Isser. The Isser is that when you move land in Eretz Yisrael, it's a denial of the special Ashgacha that relates to Eretz Yisrael of Tamid Enei Hashem Ba, that God is the one who delineated the Mekomos of the Shvatim. All those teach us that Hashem has a unique divine intervention as it relates to Eretz Yisrael. When you steal the land, it's a denial of the fact that there's a special omniscience when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, a special I'm saying kiviyachol, a special type of interaction that God has and relationship that God has, and you're just denying it. You're just moving it. You're treating it like other land, and you're denying the idea that Einei Hashem Bo, that God is watching, that there's an omniscience that relates to the land itself. And then the last two ideas were kind of different. The third idea of the shira was that you're not supposed to sell your family plots, and that's similar to Hasagas Gvul. It's not really an Isra D'Oraisa, it's just an Asmachta. But the idea is that when it comes to some types of land, you have to treat it differently. You can't treat all land the same. And a family plot has a certain value in terms of halach, in terms of the mishpacha, the family name. And to deny that, to sell land of your family plot, is a denial of that feature of the land. And the Torah recognizes that as a valid feature of land. The idea that land can sometimes represent the family sentimentality. So all those things are something that the Torah recognizes that exists in land. And when you sell your family plot, you're denying that. And then the last idea was this idea in the halacha that Hasagas Gvul also relates to making minor changes in how we quote the halacha, which is kind of unrelated, really affects the system as a whole and distorts, not just a bad midah, but it potentially creates distortions in the halachic system if you quote Beis Hillel as Beis Shammai and vice versa because of the system of psak that we have. So that was the last idea in Hasagas Gvul. Okay, so if anybody has any questions...